give thanks for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
We are honored to have the Reverend Dr. Andrew Davidson as our celebrant and for our lecture today. Father Davidson will speak about his book, Why Sacrament, as part of our Christian Education Ministry at 1 p.m. following the 11 o'clock Mass. It is also available on Amazon for those who want to read it. Earlier this month, it was announced by the King of England that from September, he will be the new Regius Professor of Divinity at Oxford and a residentiary canon of Christ Church, which is both at college, both a college and a cathedral at Oxford. Welcome, Dr. Davidson. According to biblical scholars, the Gospel of Mark presents Jesus' preaching of the manifestation of the Kingdom of God as a significant new development in the history of Israel. Jesus began his ministry prophesying that the Kingdom of God had come near. In last week's Gospel from Mark, when Jesus was teaching his followers, he used metaphors, similes, and parables to describe the Kingdom of God. Jesus compared and described the Kingdom of God to be like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seed on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests and escape. Imagine being part of that manifested kingdom. Jesus spoke with a prophetic voice to the general audience in parables, because outsiders did not understand hidden plan or hidden plan of God for the fulfillment of history in the Kingdom of God. The mystery of the Kingdom of God, as mentioned by Prophet Daniel, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or designer can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. End quote. Jesus purposely spoke to them with many parables, and he did not speak to them in parable, except for in parable, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. I will attempt to paint a full picture of when Jesus was in Galilee teaching a multitude of people. Imagine this. Jesus teaching a multitude of people in the streets of Galilee, just as if they were in Manhattan during the season of parades such as the Thanksgiving Day, the Patrick's Day, or Memorial Parade, etc. And many other people that come from different walks of life come to attend these gatherings in their city. The streets and shores of Jerusalem and Galilee were similar, diverse with Jewish religious leaders, Roman rulers, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, tax collectors, and some others who are out of curiosity wanting to hear what Jesus was saying, even if they didn't disagree or didn't understand a word of it. When I read the assigned psalm and gospel for today, as I explored the topic for my sermon, I couldn't help but to think of the movie Titanic. The hymnal, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. I know most of you have probably seen the 1997 Academy Award winner Titanic at least once. The stars of the film featured leading actors, including Leonardo DiCaprio, who played the role of Jack, and Kate Winslet as Rose. If you haven't seen it yet, I recommend it. Although I must apologize in advance that I'm not spoiling this end for you. The unsinkable ship, as they call the Titanic, was newly designed by the best of engineers. It was the fastest and most luxurious ship of its kind. Fictional character Jack, a starving artist whose only possession was a gun in his pocket. Fictional character Jack and Rose boarded on with a ticket by a rookie end of poker, and Rose, a beautiful aristocratic parent, forced into a well-led engagement to a prominent wealthy man. Jack and Rose are members of different social classes who fall in love during the ship's first epic voyage, turned to a catastrophe wreckage. When asked who was the luckiest person in the Titanic movie, some said it was Rose because Jack sacrificed his life to save her. And some said it was Jack because not only did he bring his ticket to board of the Titanic for free, he also won the beautiful heart, the heart of a beautiful, wealthy, upper-class woman. Rose had the pleasure of being treated as a Rose and first-class passenger alongside her Jack with the wealthy people. Sadly, both answers were wrong. Neither Rose nor Jack were the luckiest. The luckiest person, I believe his name was Ben, the person who lost the hand of poker to Jack. He was the luckiest because he didn't have the pleasure of boarding the Titanic, nor did he suffer the trauma of the sinking ship that cost so many dear lives. Sometimes when you think you're having a horrible day, have the worst of luck, grieving the loss, or suffering the most, whatever it is that you're going through may turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Sometimes it's just a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, to get through whatever challenges that you're facing. Dear brothers and sisters, let us dive into today's passage from the Gospel of Mark that speaks directly to the storms we face in our lives, both literal and metaphorical. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35-31, we witness Jesus demonstrating his authority over nature, but more importantly, revealing the power to bring peace and calm into chaos in our lives. Jesus had been teaching and ministering to crowds and his disciples throughout the day. As evening approached, Jesus ascended the cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. As they set sail, a violent storm arose, threatening their safety and causing panic among the disciples. Meanwhile, Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. Jesus being asleep in the boat with his disciples in the middle of the night is a sign of total trust in God. Imagine the scene. The disciples experience fishermen, terrified by the fierceness of the storm. Waves crashing into the boat, wind howling around them, and the boat filling with water. Fear gripped their hearts as they struggled to keep control. In the midst of chaos, they turned to Jesus, awakening him with desperate cries for help. What was Jesus' response to their fear? He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" Immediately, the wind died, and it was completely calm. Then he turned to his disciples and asked, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" This passage reminds us of the absolute sovereignty of Jesus, just as he calms the storm with the word. He can calm the storm in our lives. Be it physically illness, financial struggle, grief, relational tension, or emotional turmoil, nothing is beyond his control. The disciples' reaction was fear, despite being with Jesus. It mirrors our own responses in times of difficulty, which we all have been through it. Jesus asks us today, "Do you still have faith?" He invites us to trust in his presence and power, even when circumstances seem overwhelming. Jesus' word, "Quiet, be still," not only calms the storm, but also speaks to us today. His words have power to bring peace and stillness to our troubled hearts. When we're surrounded by chaos, let us turn to scripture and prayer, allowing peace to reign within us. This incident was not just a demonstration of the power, but also an opportunity for the disciples to grow in trust and understanding of Jesus. Our trials can deepen our faith and reveal more of God's character to us. As we reflect on this passage, let us take heart in knowing that the same Jesus who calmed the storm of the Sea of Galilee is with us in our storm days. He invites us to bring our fears and anxieties to him, trusting that he is able to bring peace and calmness in every situation. Mary responds to this question, "Why are you so afraid?" With renewed faith and confidence and the power of love for us, may God bless you and keep you in his perfect peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us today of your sovereignty and power over every storm in our lives. Help us to trust in you more deeply and turn to your faith, knowing that you are always with us. Calm our fears, Lord, and fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray.